Botilia, an English-speaking anarchist radio show with international and local perspective. At Radio Blau, Leipzig. Hello, hello.
Hello, everyone outside.
Hello, you're listening. Radio Bad News for Telia on Radio Blau, your local community radio.
Yeah, spring is there.
Yes.
Do you feel it?
Almost.
Almost.
Yeah, the walk here was pretty nice.
Yeah, it's a warning sign of climate change, right? So, what we do today?
Yeah, we have a full show.
We're already too slow, talking too slow.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We should speed up because we have a lot of materials for today. And as always, it will be a big challenge to come to an end with all these materials. So I think we should immediately start, maybe give a short introduction in our today's program.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today's program, we have three interviews, one short report on Ukraine Solidarity Demo. You were last weekend. Then we have an interview with the Rote Hilfe about Fields of Action and current cases of support. And then we have an interview with a comrade that gave us an insight in their anarchist work in with his organization Severes Flores. Is it pronounced right?
Yeah, Severes Flores. They're based in Bogota, Colombia. And it's an anarcha queer collective.
Yeah, bright topics. We will also make some short news before, but maybe first.
Some music in the beginning. The track you're going to listen to is Tout Le Monde, and it's from Tribare, a rap crew from Barcelona, and they short time ago dropped their new album called La Tregua, and enjoy.
Clava pa' no tener nada, callos en la mano, la espalda doblada. Mientras sube el paro y las pensiones bajan, con 60 palos a mí nadie me calla. Como la carga esta noche se arma y aviso de man y no sabe quién manda. De más panfletos, todo es propaganda, se choma, quiere ver mi barrio llamas. Yo que he corrido delante de los grises, pam tumba la taca, me siento invencible. Más cara se acá la cámara, dispárame a todos los cordones y tapo la cara. Pilla la porra, el escudo, el chaleco, la frente alta, el orgullo en el pecho. Un gesto de respeto a la foto del rey, no habrá justicia sin orden ni ley. Tras la pancarta se alza más gente, lo que dirán es que éramos 20. Se protegen, tensan el ambiente, de repente carga inminente. Gritos, insultos, desacato es claro. Si vuelan botellas le va a salir caro. Yo sirvo, protejo, recibo este pago. Aunque te pueden escapar, no queda otra disparo. Un golpe frío, la visión me nubla. Repala la vergüenza caliente en mi nuca. Debajo del casco una cara mancha de culpa. No eres hijo mío, mi sangre ya no es la tuya.
Un hombre tendido en el suelo, un charco de sangre. Dios dime que será mi padre. ¿Quién me devuelve el consuelo? ¿Quién me ha convertido en poder? El veneno del hombre.
Yay! So, short news, right?
Yes.
I will make a short news blog today, and I will start with I think it was a couple of weeks ago, or maybe three, I forgot, but it was the last month that in Russian Federation, the Ministry of Justice made a decision that the Federation of Anarchist Black Crosses in USA is now counted as undesirable organization, which is maybe when you hear the news, you think, okay, yeah, very scary. But the thing is that it's not a problem for the organization, for the Federation of Anarchist Black Crosses in the USA. But the problem is if anybody, anytime we're doing something with them, then they can be prosecuted for cooperation with undesirable organization. And at the same time, all the logos are counted also, kind of, if you use them, then you use the logos, and the ABC logos are mostly kind of the same, and so it's kind of more, the war is about the comrades which are still active there in the ABC Moscow and ABC St. Petersburg and Irkutsk. So yeah, this is one bad news. And if we are sticking to the ABC topic, then the ABC Dresden posted on their website also last month the analysis of the situation, that they are in the last year accounted as a left extremist organization, and they also connected with that they are actively supporting people in Ukraine or anti-authoritarian structures in Ukraine now, and that Saxony is also known as a, I don't know, Putin supporters, more or less.
German authorities have had to prove that they can also prosecute the same structures as in Russia.
Yeah, kind of. And yeah, that means that now people and like activities of the ABC Dresden, they can be physically observed, or their telephone communication can be also heard, and also all the internet activities and in some places the video and the audio observation can be installed. So this is important if you still want to cooperate with them or communicate, that you know about it and that you use PGP or whatsoever.
Yeah, I think we would highly recommend to stay in contact with them.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's not, you shouldn't fear, but you should be aware.
Yeah, that's important. So, any other news from your side? No.
Yeah, maybe we can short report on the demo from the 10th of February. You were there too?
Yeah, there was this Antifa Soli demo in solidarity with the anti-fascists, imprisoned anti-fascists in Italy, Germany, and other places as well, in Budapest, in Hungary. And I think we should keep it short. As I heard in the interview, we will hear afterwards, it will be also one of the topics.
Yes.
So what was your personal impression?
Yeah, my impression was that there were a base of solidarity, but it wasn't that much that I expected.
And I would guess 300 people up to maybe, if we, or maybe 350, but not more.
Yeah, that was not more. And after the talk with Rote Hilfe, I had another view on it. But yeah, solidarity is needed. And
for me, the most touching moment was when the relatives, like some of the parents of the imprisoned of Maya, the imprisoned person here in Berlin, or they imprisoned the person in Berlin, at least. That was really touching. Mm. Even if it's on a strategical way, I had some critiques because it was mentioned like, okay, everybody should like stick to whatever non-violent actions and so on. But it's totally understandable. But on the other hand, it was somehow from my point of view, it was not necessary to mention that, but it's, yeah. But it was like really the most touching moment. It was in front of the Amtsgericht, I guess, or...
Yeah.
And, yeah. And in the end, the demo was like... ended like really, there were some firecrackers thrown, and then the legal team of the demo entered the demo really fast, and afterwards there were like police controls and so on.
Really,
so it was kind of I don't know, it was like, yeah, we could definitely talk about this, but yeah, it's maybe,
I think it's a good bridge to the interview with Rote Hilfe.
But we will have another one.
Yeah, sure.
As we decided in the beginning.
Oh, oh my God.
It's okay.
Our order.
Yeah, no. We will stick to our order.
Yeah, we'll stick to our order, and it's a bridge to another demo.
Yeah, and yeah, there was last week, second year of the, like it's now already 2 years that of this full-scale invasion in Russia, and then there was a... anarchist bloc organized in the general Ukrainian demo, and I made a little audio collage or talked with several people about their feelings. So here we go.
On 24th of February 2024, I was in Berlin at the demonstration due to a second year of the full-scale invasion of Russia into Ukraine. There was an anarchist bloc, which was then entering the general Ukrainian demonstration, and I talked to several people about their reasons to be there and their positions.
By war. Make the Russian Empire fall! War by war! Make the Russian Empire fall!
I'm personally here, and I hope that many of us are here to state our support to their comrades who are fighting on the front lines in Ukraine, to show our solidarity to them, and not to them only, but also to the whole people of Ukraine, because this is the thing that must be done when we're speaking about the solidarity. It is the brave peoples of Ukraine who are fighting the Russian aggression.
So what are you doing here in the anarchist bloc at the 24th of February in Berlin?
I come to anarchist bloc because in this bloc come my some friends who support Ukraine in this war. And I come to this demonstration because for me it's very important, because these dates 2 years ago changed my life like the other Russian and Ukrainian people, because when war started, I escaped from Russia. First of all, I escaped from Georgia, and I'm immigrated to Germany. I think it's very, very changed my life, this date.
I'm here because I'm against the war, and this is the biggest demonstration in Berlin, and I think that I have to be here. Because, yeah, I'm from Russia, and I don't want to support the war, and I think that I have to show my position to people and be between people who also share this position.
Why do you think it's important to make an anarchist bloc at the 24th of February demonstration in Berlin?
It's important because there are also anti-authoritarian and anarchist people fighting against Russian imperialism in Ukraine, and they are represented over there in the fight against Russia. And I think as an anarchist, it's also important to show here the solidarity, and that we are also part of this fight against the Russian imperialism.
Okay, so I think the topic of the war in Ukraine is specifically in the left radical and anarchist circles in Germany quite complicated. I think that the state of the discussion, if you even call it a discussion. So for us it was important to align with our comrades from Russia and Belarus and Ukraine to actually make a specific statement that we do not agree on this way kind of leftish politics is happening right now in Germany, because people kind of have this kind of understanding or demand of the peace right now and the surrender of Ukraine. I mean, this is not only in left circles, also in the right wing. So for us it was important to point out that there is no peace under Russian occupation. So, I mean, for sure we're all for peace. This is not a question, but not under the circumstances. The Russian Empire would succeed in their desires if we would make a peace agreement right now under this in this situation, because it would mean that Ukraine have to give away the occupied territories and even worse. So yeah, for us it was important to kind of focus on that point, that we cannot agree on this kind of demand which people actually making right now. I mean, we know in Berlin there are several demonstrations today, and there are people who specifically demand peace now and stop the weapon support. But we think that there needs to be a continuous support of Ukrainian fighting the Russian Empire, because if we don't and Russian Empire will win, that this is a bad development, not only for Ukraine, but also for freedom in Europe in general.
Bones that are destroying lives of Ukrainians today are made from the parts produced in Switzerland, Germany, Canada, and all around the fucking world. And the only way to stop this war is also to stop the weapons to Russia, to stop this representation of the Russian fucking world all around the world. And I would like you to remember that it is not only about weapons to Ukraine, but it is also about no weapons to Russia, no weapons to Russia from Germany, no weapons to Russia from Switzerland or any fucking other part of the world. Only then Russian world will go down. Only then Putin will fucking die.
Still listening radio show Bad News for Tilia on Radio Blau, community radio in your city. And we come to our next interview.
Yeah, the next interview is a talk with Rote Hilfe Leipzig. I had some days ago, and as I mentioned in the beginning, we are talking about their fields of action and actual cases of support. And after the interview, we will give you another hints that are going on some things in the next weeks. But first, listen to the talk.
Today I'm hosting an interview with Rote Hilfe Leipzig. And yeah, I welcome you to our podcast and thanks for your time.
Hi, nice to be here.
We're starting with a little introduction block and perspectives on your field of action and activity. My first question is, you are organized as a non-profit association. What offers this structure to your work and why you hold on this structure?
Okay, so first, just to make sure, we are not an NGO that gets supported by the state. The non-profit association just means that we have a legal organization. And the reasons for that, I think, are purely practical, because that allows us to have a bank account, which is very important, as we get and spend tens of thousands of euros per year. And because we have a bank account, it is easier for people to send us money, both technically and psychologically, because it's not forbidden. We can also rent buildings and offices from which other groups and people can also profit. We can officially organize meetings and advertise them openly on the street. We can publish a magazine and sell it in regular shops. And obviously for other groups, the legal and paperwork that comes with that kind of structure will make no sense, especially if that's smaller groups. But the Rote Hilfe, as long as it's not forbidden and it has 15,000 members, I don't think there's really an alternative.
Can you briefly summarize your fields of action for our listeners?
What we do on a daily basis, first and foremost, is making sure that people don't have to focus all their energy into finding the money they need to pay the repression costs. And at the same time, don't do, excuse my language, stupid things in trying to navigate through the laws and rights and their belief in the justice system. So in our weekly meeting, we try to educate people on the do's and don'ts of navigating repression. Also, in order to make sure they don't end up with stupid lawyers, and by stupid lawyers, I mean lawyers whose only reason for existence is making sure that their client gets punished less than expected. To make sure that doesn't happen, we commend lawyers that we trust, or at least lawyers that know what our principles are and are more or less willing to act accordingly, which means they will, for example, not tell you that it is a really good idea to apologize for having thrown a rock at a police car. We can also support people by publishing their news and communiques openly, because we have a magazine and a blog, or by showing up at people's trials in solidarity, so nobody has to be alone in court. We also teach people in workshops or texts about what repression is and how to avoid repression. Sometimes we coordinate and connect groups working on related topics if they so wish. For example, people that from different cities that are connected in some case. For example, recently there was a lot of raids in all of Germany because of the 1st of May in Gera, and the people from the different cities wouldn't have found each other to discuss how they feel and what they want to do about it without us connecting them. Another topic that people need to be educated about is that there is no state of law that will guarantee their freedom and justice. Sometimes people come into our Sprechstunde and they ask us whether we all agree that it's a good idea to confront the police with what they did. And it's just like, why do you really hope? What do you hope to achieve by fighting the cops by means of the state of law? It is exactly that state that is responsible for the repression in the first place, and people need to know how to practically deal with that instead of hoping that magically it will all turn out all right if they just explain that they really didn't mean to undermine the state's authority.
And how can people get in contact with you in case of concrete repression? Is there a latency for helping petitions?
We have an open consultation every Friday at 5:30 at the Linksnet in Connewitz. Open means you can just show up without prior notification, so you don't need to text us or something. You can just come here. If you want to apply for financial support and not just get information, you have to show up here at some point. Emailing us is also an option, but we strongly encourage people not to send us information via unencrypted mail that the cops don't already have. So if you text us that you got a letter from the cops saying that you have to pay money, that is an information they already have. Do not text us when you were somewhere doing something. So we use PGP, and so should you. Regarding the latency, normally it takes a couple of months until people get the cash. That is because they come here, then we do the paperwork, then we have to send the paperwork to the organization. They meet like once every 2 months, and then they make a decision, and then we get the cash. Also, normally you can also only apply for money after your case has been resolved, for better or worse. So if you're at the beginning of your trial, you can come here to get information, but the cash you will only get at the end, which is because we only pay if you stick to our principles, and we cannot know whether you're gonna stick to our principles before you had your court date. Should people need money in advance because their situation is more complicated, sometimes we can help with cash, but rather with like planable expenses. Like if you know that you're gonna need 300 euros to print something, you can apply for that in advance. But as we, as I said, with court dates, it's really complicated to get money in advance.
I want to go on with our talk and look on European-wide repression of anti-fascism. Do you support anti-fascist structures in case of repression behind German borders? And are you working together with other anti-repression organizations in Europe?
Well, regarding anti-repression organizations, I don't think there is another one like the Rote Hilfe in Europe. So there might be like smaller Soli campaigns. And I think these get support sometimes. A recent example is like the delegation from Chile that toured through Europe. And there's some solidarity towards Spanish antifas. But normally, to apply for financial support at the Rote Hilfe, there has to be a link either through the place of residence, so if you live in Germany, or because it's the German state that is repressing. So if you're from Italy but apparently did something in Germany, you can also get financial support. But there's also counterexamples to the normal way of things. For example, the Italian activist Ilaria, held captive in Hungary for allegedly attacking fascists, is also because there is like a lot of solidarity in Germany, also organized by the Rote Hilfe. She is also profiting from that support, I hope. There's also a long-time cooperation between the Rote Hilfe and Azadi, who supports Kurdish activists. And there's also individual cases where international activism gets supported by the Rote Hilfe.
Yeah, thank you for the answers. And in my last question on this blog, I want to talk about the actual proscription praxis against left. Militarization of police and extension of their authority are two keywords. What would you describe as actual state instruments to intimidate persons that practice left politics?
Firstly, I would like to stress that outlawing radical leftist organizations and thought is nothing special about our state or our times. Like, radical means rejecting the foundations of the status quo, and no state can allow that. So as soon as some group or idea becomes important enough to bother the authorities, they will try to ban it. So there's nothing new there, and crying about it is not going to change it. Regarding the extension of repression practices and the militarization, however, bad times are upon us. They have money to buy all the shiny new toys, from so-called Trojan horses for your computers to tanks on the street to shatter every thought of fighting the cops head-on. In Leipzig, raids have been becoming both more frequent and more brutal. Like, there have been doors shut open, people have been fixated naked on the floor. Roommates and bystanders have been included in the searches, and they don't give a shit if it's afterwards it is declared illegal by some court, because they already succeeded with what they came to do, namely scaring the shit out of us. There have been several public searches for people who are not yet convicted of anything, mostly really young people, thereby forcing them to go underground. There have been cases where the authorities try to take away people's kids, arguing they're not fit to care for them. If I recall correctly, that was in the context of Kurdish activism. Also, in the past few years, there have been several convictions for nothing more than so-called psychological assistance, which means that nowadays they don't even bother to prove that some person did some specific crime. They just say that everybody who was there helped the ones who did it, and that is enough to get you behind bars for several years, as in the cases of G20 in Hamburg or the Antifa Ost trial in Dresden. Right now, Germany is helping the extremely right-wing state of Hungary to get a grip on anti-fascists. They face up to 20-something years in prison there, far away from their friends, comrades, and family. And whether or not Germany will extradite Maya is not yet clear, and it should be our top priority to raise the pressure that they don't. Unfortunately, I could go on and on. Here's one tiny positive thought. Whether or not their intimidation by means of repression works or not is not only up to them, but also up to us.
Yeah, thank you again for your words out there. And my last question is, what current words you want to give our listeners and left activists?
Repression in general, and prison especially, are topics most German activists don't like to think about, and they rarely do before there is a specific reason, be it themselves or comrades or friends that get confronted with repression. Older activists and activists from other places often say that for them it is or was different because there was a lot more preparation, because repression was more common. We strongly urge people to get ready, to think about what if, to talk about it in their groups, to talk about it with their friends and families. Should you end up in pre-trial detention, who is going to pay your rent, and what are your parents going to tell the authorities about you trying to help you? What if you have to appear as a witness in a big-ass case? Are you sure you're not going to end up talking? Did you know that the right to remain silent does not apply to witnesses? Also, there is really no way around encrypting one's computers and phones. In every single raid, the cops find another laptop or another phone without encryption, and thus new information about who knows whom, and sometimes even proof of illegal activities, because people don't even bother to have a timer in their signal conversations. There are simple ways to avoid such unnecessary and, I would say, highly unsolidary mistakes. Just don't do it. But mostly people have to answer to the authorities' attempts to isolate and divide us with more solidarity. They want us to fail. They want us to fight ourselves instead of them. So stop distancing yourself from people that chose another form of activism than you and focus on common goals. Join a Zoli campaign, even for somebody you don't know. Write letters to those in prison. Seriously, just think about it, what it would be like to be behind bars for years and not receiving any letters. It would absolutely suck, so just do it. Help yourself and others not to get too frustrated or scared to stop fighting. Don't stop. We will...
Yeah.
Right. Back in the studio, the last track you heard was performed by Drei Affen, and it's called like Fuego y Llanta.
Yeah, welcome back, everyone outside. In addition to the talk we had with Rote Hilfe, I want to announce their blog, the blog from the Rote Hilfe Leipzig group, and there you find several events during the next weeks. You can check some workshops and other dates, and we will upload the full talk with the Rote Hilfe that is at least half an hour on our blog. Then you can pre-listen it.
Our blog, frequenza.noblogs.org.
Yes, find it also on the Radio Blau homepage.
Okay. And now?
Now we're going to listen to our last interview for today. It's also about 13 minutes long, and it was done as already announced in the beginning with a comrade that is part of the collective called Severas Flores from Bogota, Colombia. And Felipe will report about the work they do there with their Anaha queer collective.
Hi, thank you first of all that you found time to talk with us. Maybe we can start with the classical question. Can you introduce yourself with whatever name you prefer, pronoun, and your affiliation, which make sense for this talk?
Yes, thank you for inviting me. My name is Felipe, pronouns he, him, and I'm part of something called Colectiva Libertaria Severas Flores, an anarcho-queer collective based in Bogota, Colombia.
That's actually what we wanted to talk with you about. Can you tell us about your work, your collective, what you do?
Yeah, the collective was born out of the idea of popular education being this idea of education as a transformative practice based on the principle of Paulo Freire, this famous Brazilian pedagogue. And what the organization mostly does, or its base work, is educational work, sexual educational work in Colombia. The idea is that through education we can transform people, and transforming people and transforming ourselves, we can transform the world. And because it's an anarcho-queer organization, it's based on the issues of gender, sexuality, sexual education. That's the main focus of the organization, and the main ideas is working through something that we call the deformémonos, or deform schools, that we used to do every 6 months. Now it's a little bit changed, but that's the word, it's educational work.
When you read about Colombia and LGBT rights, like when one read about Colombia and LGBT rights, it sounds from a general internet knowledge like a paradise in the Latin America. But how is the reality look like, and what is actually your main topic, what you try to fight with your work?
Yeah, in Colombia we have what we call magical legalism, right? Like, so in paper everything sounds super good, right? Like marriage equality, adoption rights, like protection of discrimination, but that's just the paper, right? Like that's from the top, and this is product of this legal strategy. So pushing like legal reforms that will change the constitution. As we know, this doesn't change people, or this doesn't change man, like, because this change is from the top. What we're striving towards are change from the bottom, like social, cultural, structural, ideological changes. Therefore, even though we have like this paradise of LGBT rights, like quote unquote, there's still rampant violence and criminalization and intolerance of LGBTQ or queer people in general. There is the clear example of Sergio Urrego. Sergio was an anarchist comrade who was organized in a student union, and he killed himself by jumping from one of the biggest malls in Bogota the same year that marriage equality was legalized in Colombia. Why? Because there was an extensive persecution of his sexuality in the school. Because it doesn't matter if some people have the right to marry themselves, if there is a still problem with education, if people are still bullying in school, if society still allows these kinds of behaviors, there will be no true change. And therefore, that's what we're fighting for, right? Like we're trying for. That's why education is our center of work, because education is like the neurological part, right? Like this, the resistance of the heteronormative ideology lies in the way how we think about the world. And therefore, that's the struggle, right? Like we're fighting off this, and we know all this stuff, right? Like this superficial pinkwashing idea of rights, right? Like it's also you have the right to consume, you have the rights of marriage, you have the rights of entering the system, but it doesn't challenge heteronormative structures, therefore capitalist structures, right? Like so it's totally performative, totally superficial, and what we're striving toward is changing that.
There has also been this uprising in Colombia not long ago. How did you experience that? Was it kind of a boost for your work, or did you have the expression that people in society were more open for your ideas, or does it change anything?
There's definitely an interesting time, like Estallido Social from 2021, especially because it was queer people who were in the vanguard of the movement. You have these amazing photos and videos of people bogging in front of riot police or using dance and performative like acts to face like police violence and police brutality. And there is this very amazing video of a group of bogging people, of queer people bogging from the riot police, and the riot police just not knowing what to do, right? Like they don't know how to engage with this kind of bodies, with this kind of movement they used to repress. And it was interesting because a lot of queer people were in the front lines of the protest and definitely gained visibilization through that. Nevertheless, especially during pandemic, we know that economic measures and so on, like they weigh heavy on marginalized people. And for queer people, especially, for example, in the cities, like trans people, like the pandemic was horrible and was a very, very hard times. Therefore, I mean, the changes are, you can see that regarding mobilization, there is like a more visibilization, but also more backlash, right? Like, because in paper, everything is so good, then this mainstream LGBT movement argues that there is no need for mobilization and that also there is no need for radicalization, right? Like, if we have the right to belong to the state, then that's it, right? Like, we can be normal or normalized, therefore there is no more issues. And then that's issue right now, especially in something that we call like the contramarcha, or what we call here like critical prides. Right, like there is this huge pride demo in Bogota, it's the hugest in the country. I don't know how many 100,000 people, but it's totally co-opted by the state. Right, like the city of Bogota, the administration of the city controls the demo, they controls who can talk at the concentration, what message is it, and so on and so. And it's a pinkwashing event used to change the images of politicians, companies, and so on. So from Severas Flores, we're encouraging this idea of contramarch, an alternative critical demo, and it has been severely criminalized. Last year, representative of the LGBT state sponsor organization called us criminals, infiltrators, conservators who wanted to destroy the advancement of the movement, and it was like a horrible deal. There was confrontation, violent confrontation, even though what we were doing is just what you would call here a kufa. We were doing like a collective lunch with some political critical discussions, and they just attacked us. So it's completely an issue where you're fighting the idea of liberalization, right? Like you're forming this reformist idea.
And you are organized in Bogota. So usually it is the easiest way you can be organized in the capital. How does it look like in the rural areas? Like, do you work also outside the capital? And if there is also any work in the land room, let's say.
Yeah, for sure. Of course, the organization was born in the capital, in the public university in the capital. But since the beginning, we're trying to go as far as we can, whenever we can. And this is some beautiful thing. Like, we have been receiving invitations and calls from people all around the country who say, like, okay, we have 2-3 people here who are interested in organizing. What can we do? Do you have some teams? So we can give them tips, give them tools, or sometimes we can just travel wherever they want and help them. We have been doing this all around the country. Unfortunately, an organization have been formed. For example, the idea of Contramarcha, which originally was organized in Bogota, last year happened in 4 or 5 cities, different cities, with this idea of critical thinking, of challenging the co-opted demo pride or something like that. So it's good to see that, right, like this is the idea of the spark, just a spark, and then the fire can start from anywhere. So that's nice. Of course, the central of the organization is Bogota, but people are organizing everywhere and we're doing what we can to help them.
Cool. If people look on your website or wherever, your social networks, you also see that the like one second important topic of you is also animal rights. How is this connected?
That's a great question. That's a great question. Originally, it wasn't like that, but a comrade who was really into veganism and animal rights started to bring the issue to our meetings. And we decided that, sure, like the struggle for liberation is the struggle for liberation everywhere. And that means all the species, right? Like this is not new even in feminism. You have cyber feminism, monster feminism, Dora Haraway, like this idea of we sharing the war with non-human animals, like it's not new. And we decided that it will be also important for us, right? Like it's a struggle for liberation everywhere. And therefore we're struggling with that too. And it was a beautiful story, but because in the first demos that we went as Severas Flores, the people who helped us the most were the animalist movement. Like they were in the demo, in the Pride demo with us, creating the first contra block, and we weren't expected that support from them, and therefore we created a beautiful alliance, and it has been working like that.
As we are more in the scene specific topics, I was wondering if in this anarchist, I guess it's also in Colombia, it's also some subculture thing more or less, if you faced like difficulties with the rest of the anarchist movement, as you define yourself as anarcha queer collective, if there's also, I don't know, resistance from the other part of the movement against queer ideas.
Yeah, it was interesting because when we start organizing ourselves, there was no queer anarchist organization in Bogota or in Colombia that we knew of. Maybe there was, but maybe it was too small, we didn't know. Therefore, when we start bringing this subject to anarchist spaces, at the beginning it was a little bit, I mean, this was the 2010s, right? Like the discussion of feminism wasn't so mainstream. So at the beginning it was a little bit like, ah, yeah, so silly, queerness, that's cool, but it's not the main topic we're discussing, right? Like we're fighting for workers' rights, like the violence, the civil war in Colombia, so on. So it was a little bit like cute, right? Like that's cute, you do your thing, but it's not like the issue. But with time, even some anarchist organizations have asked us to do workshops on queer education, of sexual education. We're working with feminist organizations creating safety protocols against sexual harassment in organizations. So all in all, the reception has grown. Of course, there are spaces where the reception is good and there are spaces where the reception is really bad. Like especially, for example, and we saw, right? And you said it. Like, for example, anarchism is very connected to punk everywhere, right? Like the punk scene is also very anarchist sometimes. So we started like getting close to the punk scene, like trying to give these discussions in the punk scene, and the rejection was really strong, right? Like this is just messing around the scene, we don't want your politics here, this is just so disruptive and so on. So that's a little bit a letdown, but I mean, I think it's everywhere.
Yeah, maybe, thank you for sharing. Maybe you have some words to the world, like what you want to share, or if you have any request for support, then yeah, this is maybe the moment.
I mean, what I really like about our organization, how we started, is that it was a process of radicalization, right? Like most of the people who started in this organization didn't even identify themselves as queer, right? Like we just start with a little workshop on new masculinities or critical masculinities, and then it developed into an anarcho-queer organization. And I think that's the most beautiful thing that you can do, right? Like education, and therefore education is important to us. Education is also a process of making sense of the world, but also like sharing with people and creating a world with other people, right? Like when you educate yourself with other people, you're creating new worlds. And that's the beautiful thing about our process. Like we're always open to work with different people and growing in a radical thinking, but also in solidarity networks, and that's great. And regarding solidarity, generally what we do every year is we open solidarity, I mean support for organizing this contramarcha, because it's always super hard. So maybe in the coming months we will like look for solidarity, financial solidarity if possible from the contramarcha. We are really not sure this year, because last year it was so horrible, like the repression, that we don't know how to organize this year the contramarcha. But that's it.
Where do people can find any information?
Yeah, there is a Twitter and there is an Instagram, I think, even a Facebook, and you can find us by the name Colectiva Libertaria Severas Flores.
Thank you so much for taking time, and a lot of strength and fun and glitter to your work.
Thank you, comrades.
Ciao.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this track was from Beton Brut and called Die Mannmaschine. And yeah, we are coming to the end of today's show. And maybe as I'm already talking, I'm going to announce shortly that there will be an anarchist radio meeting in Slovenia, and there will be a part of it will be an live show and marathon live show from 4 hours with all the participants from different parts of the world. And yeah, I warmly recommend it. And I guess it makes sense if we announce the link. You can listen to it. It will be at Radio Student from Ljubljana, but we will announce it on our blog in advance. And it will take place at the 31 of March.
What else to do in March? What do you think, Roxy?
Yeah, just today there is a Soli party, I think, in the east of Leipzig for with the campaign Free Benny. So maybe go there in the evening. And next week we are going to have the 8th of March. And there are different things that are going on. And if you're not up to date, maybe it's good to check Knack News to get an overview over the different demonstrations and things. And yeah, there will be one demonstration and a talk in Kolonnadenstraße on the 8th of March between 15 and 19, and with the group Keine Mehr Leipzig. And on the following day, on the 9th, there will be even a big Soli show for this group at the Gießer. So you also find the informations at Planlos.
In general, the whole week will be kind of full of feminist events. So yeah, don't miss it.
Maybe to add shortly, Benny, if you might not know yet, is an anti-fascist accused of throwing some, I don't know, some burning shit, Molotov, I don't know. I don't want to tell something wrong. At a Day X demo in solidarity with other anti-fascists accused, the so-called Antifa East case, on some policeman, and he is imprisoned now in Leipzig in Leinestraße, I think. Mm-hmm. And yeah, therefore, for him will be the Soli party tonight.
And this is not for March, but we just wanted to tell you in advance that the Anarchist Days will happen this year again, and they are happening around the 1st of May, and it's like first preparation of 1st of May and a couple of days before, and then the 1st of May demonstration, and then from the 2nd to the 5th there will be like a full program with lectures, concerts, workshops, whatsoever. And if you search in the internet Anarchistische Tage or A Tage 2024, then you will find their call, and they are open now for like joining as individuals or collective for the preparation, or if you wanna make an input or whatsoever stuff during the Anarchist Days, you can contact them. And also they're searching for support, like for different kind of logistics and food and cleaning and things like this. So yeah, real DIY.
But and really, really ambitious this year. I mean, it's taking place since 2 years now, and or that's the third time, and yeah, this year's preparation crew seems to that they want all of it.
Let's see. Sounds fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, but it depends on everybody of you how it will be in the end, as I understood the call.
Right. And Anti Repression Week or something
that? I read about it, but I didn't found it at the moment. But it's taking place at the 12th and 13th of April this weekend. There's
next weekend.
No, in April.
April.
But I think the call is open now.
And in April there will be also geezer days and so on and so on. And we figured out that we will have our show during these days again. And I think we said we will try to be live from geezer Straßenfest.
Try to force people to talk with us and they will run away.
Yeah, make your mind already. If you want to talk to us, you can find us probably there in the streets. And you can be part of our show.
Mm. And next time we will hear us on the 30th of March in 4 weeks at the same time at 5. And we will finish our show with Dimensia Collectiva.
Yeah, the track is called...
Controladas, if my Spanish is proper.
Controlled.
Yeah, have a good evening and... Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao.